Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Elm Park Royals Preview Podcast. It's going to be New Year's Day. It's going to be 2024, our first game of 24 when we come and play Exeter. I don't think any Reading fan will want to see 2023 again. Hopefully 24 brings a lot better moments, but we are playing Exeter City on Monday. I nearly said Saturday, but it is Monday. And to preview Exeter, we have got Tom from Park Life, the Exeter City podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Matt. Things looking a little bit more positive at St. James Park at the moment. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. And I know things are a little bit more positive for Reading at the moment. So we'll see. It should be a good game.
Yes, things are quite a lot different from when we spoke to you earlier in the season. I think both of us had a bit of an air of positivity and kind of anticipation for the season ahead. Obviously, we played you back. It was, I think, 26th of August. Seems a year ago, to be honest, when we played you. But you guys came out 2-1 winners. It was a real game of two halves. That I remember watching it, and Exeter were fantastic in that first half. We were better in the second half. It was a game that could have gone either way. But Amason got the goal for you in the first half, and Reece Cole got an absolute screamer for you that game to win it.
Yeah, exactly. Great game it was. And yeah, I think you summed it up quite nicely. There was a real sense of optimism around the park at that sort of time. You know, near about that time, beating Burton, Carlisle away from home, then getting that result against you lot. And we thought, well, I mean, top of the league, how high can we finish? I remember there was a brief period where I sort of, I wouldn't say ridiculed, but I maybe took a little nudge at Gav Sutton, who predicted us to finish 16th this season. And I said, well, is that all? Yeah, maybe that's a position that we might take now. But yeah, things are a little bit different, to say the least. But from our perspective, after the barren run of, what, 13, 14, 15 games-ish without a win, finally we got one against Wickham. And I mean, I know things are looking a little bit more positive for Reading as well. So things are really starting to heat up at the bottom of League One.
Yeah, well, you mentioned it. It was, I think, the last win or before that run kicked in was Cheltenham. Cheltenham away at home, sorry, on the 16th of September. You were, in fact, top then after eight games. You know, things were looking up. But then there was a pesky little EFL Cup tie, which I think blew every Reading fan away. And maybe Exeter fans, well, maybe no one remembers it because it was probably each team that, well, Exeter played academy players and we played a lot of our team's academy players at the moment, but kind of what was left of the under-23s then. Do you remember much of that 9-0?
Look, I mean, I think it's best to forget it, really.
Yeah. it never happened.
Yeah, look, I mean, the what they call it, the Select Car Lease, oh no, what is it? The Bristol Street Motors.
Bristol Street Motors trophy
now, isn't it? Mm. Look, I think our campaign in that tournament wasn't the best. I mean, we ended up beating Swindon towards the end of it. But
oh, every Reading fan, that'll be music to their ears.
But I mean, the defeats to Reading and Arsenal were not great, to say the least. But to be honest, I'm not really sure if that was a competition that we were really looking at with any sort of drive to enter the latter stages. If it comes to it, you know, great. It's one of those that can be a welcome distraction if you're playing badly. It can kick a few into form, give some opportunities to maybe some younger players, some fringe players as well. But I don't think it certainly wasn't our priority this year. It was certainly the league, and staying in League One is the priority at the moment.
No, it certainly gave Reading fans a bit of a welcome relief, all the cup competitions, to be honest, as well, because the FA Cup prior to, obviously, Eastleigh away was quite fun as well. But yeah, kind of before we dive into the dip, there was kind of, I guess, one big factor that's probably actually maybe not being prime and main factor as to why, you know, you guys have dropped off a bit, but that was Sam Nombe. We talked about him in the preview previously, before we played you guys. That actually turned out to be his last game for you guys. I think he mentioned it to me after that he might be leaving, and I thought, oh yeah. No, I've not preempted something there. Was brilliant for you last season, but just not quite found the replacement really for him.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's probably a fair comment. I think before the Reading game earlier this season at home, I don't know, maybe I was almost surprised that he made it to that game. But look, I mean, I think there was talk about Sam leaving throughout the summer, and when he eventually did, I don't think it was any real surprise. We got a hell of a lot of money for him, so it was a difficult one to turn down. Maybe we could have prepared a little bit better by bringing in a striker, and I think that's something that the board has sort of admitted, and we're gonna, you know, the club are gonna provide the Gary Caldwell the funds in January. That's something that they've made quite clear. Look, at the moment we've got Sonny Cox up top, who's returned from a loan spell at Yeovil, and he's been absolutely fantastic since returning. And before, I'm sure that he would probably admit that I don't think he was quite ready for League One football, but since his loan spell at Yeovil, went away, scored a few goals, he's come back, and what a player he's become. Obviously scored the winning goal against Wickham, and had a good game against Pompey as well.
He's young as well, isn't he? I think he's only 19, 20?
19. Yeah. He's some player. He started coming through the ranks a few years ago. We really started to notice him when we won a sort of national or a Southwest, I can't remember what it was, a youth cup anyway. I think we played Crewe in the final, so it can't have been Southwest. All I know is that from that moment, everyone was really starting to get a bit of hype about him. He started to come into the first team, scored in a game against Oxford last season in a little cameo, and then eventually went on loan to Bath, scored some goals there, came back, didn't really have the impact we thought he might, went away to Yeovil, and I mean, I've already said it, but he looks fantastic. So I expect him to start against Reading on New Year's Day, and I'd expect him to provide a bit of a threat as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, another player that kind of has no doubt contributed to the dip off in form is that of Dimitri Mitchell. I think it was his first game when he played against us earlier in the season, came through the Manchester United Youth Academy. And again, he was one of the players that I remember from that day being fantastic on, I think it was your left-hand side. I think he plays mostly or played, but sadly did his cruciate ligament injury kind of halfway through this barren run or X's barren run back at the end of October. How much of a miss probably is he being? Because I think he's your second highest goal scorer and still highest in assists with 3.
Well, I mean, if you look at, I think, our top goal scorer now, I believe it's still Ryan Trevitt. Yes. And he's out with 3 as well. So, no, I mean, a few of our goal scorers are out at the moment. Trevitt, we're not sure how long he'll be out for. It looks pretty extended, to be honest. Whether he'll come back for the second half of the season, we're still unsure. So hopefully he does, because he's a brilliant talent at this level, and he's got a brilliant future ahead of him. And the same can be said for Demi, maybe a little bit older than Trev, but Dimitri Mitchell has been fantastic. He arrived as one of Gary's first signings back in January, played the latter half of last season, and then he started brilliantly this season. Certainly was our best player, or one of our best players, when he was fit this year. Scored against Luton, so he'll certainly be remembered for that. We probably won't see him for the rest of the season. I think Demi's kind of admitted that himself. Whether we'll see him again in an Exeter City shirt, I'm not sure. I hope we will. But it's certain to say that he's been a big miss. We do have replacements on both the left-hand side and the right-hand side. Imi Niskanen, Finnish international, he's been great. Dion Rankin from Chelsea, he's come back from his injury and he's looked really good as well. Got that assist for Yannick Vilshut away at Stevenage and looked pretty good against Pompey and Wickham as well. So Demi, a brilliant player. We've tried to replace him the best we can with players that we've got. It might be a position that we look to strengthen in January, which is now only a few days away. So you can't help but feel that, you know, those players that are injured and the players that maybe we didn't start to find replacements for as a result of players leaving in the summer, the January transfer window is going to be huge for trying to strengthen the squad and replace some of those players.
Hearing the names of Niskanen and Rankin, it's hard to say those both together. That sends shivers down my spine because I remember they were fantastic against us. They really gave Carson, bless him, a really tough time down your right hand side there, our left. It was, that was a tough first half for Carson. Let's just dip into maybe the bit of the elephant in the room. It might be the unhappy phase really of Exeter's season this year. The period between Cheltenham and kind of as we stand today, 15 games, only one win, 4 goals scored, 29 conceded. What happened in this run? Because it's numbers wise, it's quite astonishing when you look at it. And kind of Gary Caldwell still got a lot of support really amongst Exeter fans, maybe under pressure. What's kind of the feeling really around that?
I think Gary would probably admit that he's, I'm not sure if he's necessarily felt under pressure. You know, Exeter City are a club that pride itself on doing things the right way, you know, and take that how you will. But one of the things that we like to do is give managers an awful lot of time. You know, look at Paul Tisdale, who he had for many, many, many years, and then followed by Matt Taylor, who was at the club for, you know, 3 or 4 years. We're not a club who likes to sack managers. In fact, the Supporters Trust, who own the club, have never sacked a manager. And that is something that I think is pretty unique for Exeter City. So it's not really something we've ever done before, getting rid of a manager. And it's not to say that we couldn't do it. I mean, Nick Hawker, the chair, has said openly that you know, we have the funds to do it if we so wanted to. But I guess that, you know, I from what I've seen, I think that Gary is a coach who hasn't lost the dressing room. I think that's pretty clear. The second half against Stevenage, to come back from one goal down and down to 10 men to draw against the side third in the league. I mean, don't tell me that the players weren't playing for the manager, because I'll tell you what, they certainly were. Look, I think Gary is a very capable manager at this level. Look, he certainly had his critics during that run, but the win against Wickham was so huge. I think that he got an awful lot more of that support back, I guess, after that win. Mm-hmm. And then the draw against Pompey as well, and even the draw against Stevenage. These are great results for a team that were really struggling for results. So I guess that's the picture with regard to Gary. How did the run happen? I think it started with a few key injuries, and then once you slip into a poor run of form, it is very difficult to get that confidence back. And we needed something to go our way. Defeats to Fleetwood away, I think it was 3-0. Port Vale we lost to at home, Cambridge away. These are sides that we probably want to be beating if we're being totally honest. But then when Wickham came to town on Boxing Day, a side that were struggling pretty much as badly as we were very aware of how big of a result it would, or big of a game it would be, and how much we needed a result, and we got it. It's difficult to put into words how big that will be for the season, because the confidence is back, and that can only be good.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit like Reading, because we got our first away win at Wickham back at the end of November, and since then we've gone 4 games now unbeaten. We hadn't won, I think we were on 12, 13 games losses in a row, and we hadn't won since, I think it was 378 days or so, over a year. We hadn't won away from home. We won that game, and that's now kind of given us maybe a little bit more impetus away from home. You know, we got a draw away at Peterborough, but it's kind of, I guess, done the same, or might end up doing the same for you. We've talked about, I guess, you know, that bad run. The good element of that has been, though, the last 4 games you mentioned, you know, the draw against Stevenage, 1-1 coming from behind. Yes, there was a loss away at Cambridge in that, but then wins against Exeter and Portsmouth. One thing, though, that has solidified is your defence, because that was a big problem, you know, across that run. You know, whenever you concede, you know, 29 in 15 games, that's going to be an issue. But when you kind of look at the past four games, only conceding three in four, has there been any defensive changes? By the looks of it, you're still sticking with, you know, the likes of Sweeney, Amerson, Hartridge, as well as Zach Jules as well in there. Has there been any big changes on that side?
A huge change, an absolutely huge change, and that is the reintroduction of Cheick Diabate in the centre of defence. We've moved to a back four, which has been really important. It feels like that's a system that suits Cheick incredibly well. He's been playing alongside Alex Hartridge in the centre. Will Ameson's moved to a right back position, which we haven't really seen him play at all in his time at the club, but he's really impressed since he's been in that position. And then Zach Jules playing on the left. Cheick Diabate has been absolutely unbelievable. Stevenage away was probably the best I've seen him play. He really, it's difficult to explain, but the mentality that he brought for that second half really spurred on the whole team. Aerially brilliant. And I think he's shown that in all four of the games that we've played so far. The four most recent games.
Was he out injured then before?
So he was injured for a considerable period of time. And then it was always going to be difficult to break his way back into the team, especially with the team doing pretty well at the start of the season. Ameson, Hartridge, Sweeney, that was kind of just the standard back three. For Cheick to break in was always going to be tough. And he even played some games at centre forward, which is not something that we expected at all. But the reality was that the strikers that we had just weren't scoring. And we needed to shake things up slightly. Cheick Diabate up top was a brave move from Gary.
It sounds one of those weird dystopian universe kind of concepts, putting a defender up front. I remember, yeah. I think our local radio said a few years ago to put one of our defenders up top so you could just lump it up to him and he can win a header. It's brave, like you say.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason behind it was that Cheick is so good in the air. He will win nearly every header that's put into him. We thought that with a good amount of crosses from players who can put in a good ball, Dion and I mean, Niskanen both can cross the ball very well. Ryan Trevitt as well can put a decent ball in. We thought that maybe that would be a good option to have somebody who can head the ball very well. Reality was, he didn't really have the positioning. He's not a striker.
Wasn't a centre forward.
You can't expect him. You can't expect him to be, the best striker when that's not his position. Yeah. He's come back to centre back and he has been unbelievable. Our best player over the past four games, without a doubt. And he's certainly helped by, in my opinion, one of the best goalkeepers in the league, Vuyami Sinisalo, who's just right behind him and mopping up anything that does manage to get through. And he's certainly very good at that. Two clean sheets in our last three games, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, or 2-2, two and two when you look at the last two games.
So
you don't need to mention the loss at Cambridge.
My bad.
But he's been fantastic. And I mean, well, the fans, I think, are still behind the team because I think that's shown by, you know, I think it was two sellouts on the bounce, I think, against Wickham and Portsmouth, over the Christmas period. Mm-hmm. But still very much behind the manager, which is obviously good for you guys. You mentioned Ryan Trevitt now injured. One person that stepped up in midfield, though, as well, is Tom Carroll. How's he been doing of late? Is he kind of now really taken on that Trevitt role that he had kind of earlier in the season of being that midfield dictator?
Yeah, it's interesting. Tom Carroll, I mean, big name, of course, played for Spurs, Swansea. He's played at the highest level, really. He's played an interesting role for us this season. I think sometimes he gets a little bit of criticism because he's in that role where his main job is to pass sideways, I guess. He's not somebody who's going to find the killer pass behind the lines. That's something that Ryan Trevitt can do really well. It's something that Rhys Cole can do very well. Tom Carroll is not really your guy for that. What he does is his pass completion rate is excellent. He's a visionary, I guess. Is probably not the right word for it, but he's very good at seeing potential openings and dictating play. So that's kind of Tom Carroll's role. It's nothing fancy, but he certainly does the job in midfield. And he kind of has those midfield partners, Trevitt, Rhys Cole, whoever it might be, Carl Taylor, to do some of the more creative work, I guess. But Tom's an excellent sort of dictator in the middle of the park.
If you could pick one player, then I think earlier in the season you picked Ryan Trevitt as your player to watch this weekend. Who would you probably be picking from this Exeter team?
That's a really tricky one. I don't want to put too much pressure on Sonny Cox, so I'm not going to say Sonny, even though, you know, keep an eye out for him. I am going to say Dion Rankin. He's looked really good recently. The assist against Stevenage was something that we wanted to see more of. And he looks bright against Pompey as well. Imi Niskanen, another player who can definitely cause some big problems. And of course, in defence, Cheick Diabate, you're going to struggle to get past him, I think, if we're being totally honest. So if you want somebody from an offensive point of view, then I'd probably look at Dion Rankin. In defence, though, Cheick Diabate is certainly the man who will definitely cause a little bit of frustration for Reading fans, I hope.
Well, we will see. One thing that is certain, it's 20th v 21st. A Reading win takes Reading out of the relegation zone, puts Exeter into it. What is going to be your score prediction for this, Tom? A win, needless to say, a win for either team is massive. Probably more of a must not lose for you guys, I would say, probably. But what are you going to be predicting?
The result against Portsmouth was huge. It kept the momentum. We're now off the back of a win, a draw, and I don't see us losing. Call me cocky, but I think that we've definitely seen a change since that Wickham game. So I'm going to go for a win. It's almost rare that I do it, but I do think we've got the quality. The confidence is back, so I'm going to go for a 2-1 win. Just nick it. Let's go for a Rhys Cole goal.
Hopefully again. Not in the 93rd or whatever it was minute again. I can't be doing that again, no. could I actually... God. I said a few weeks ago, to be fair, I've been very fair with predictions and predicted Reading to be losing pretty much every game, seemingly the last 20 games. I'm going to start 2024 off with a win. No logic behind it. No logic. I might go for... No, I can't go for 2-0. We don't keep clean sheets. 2-1.
We do.
I'm going to go boring. Oh, well, that's not a good combination. I'm going to go 2-1 as well. 2-1. I can't start the new year on a loss. That's, I'll probably rescind that at 3:01 on Monday, but we will see. But anyway, Tom, thank you so much, obviously, for joining us again. Great catching up with you and obviously seeing what's been going on in the world of Exeter City since we last played you. You coming to the game on Monday?
I can't, unfortunately. I'm not gonna be there. I was there for the Pompey game, but can't quite make it to Reading. I would have been there. I'm at home at the moment, so it's a bit of distance. But yeah, I'll certainly be supporting the boys from home.
Absolutely. Is there going to be many Exeter fans that are going to be a good away end?
We sold 1,200 already, so big numbers for
very
for
good New showing. Day. Yeah, brilliant. Well, have a fantastic New Year celebration, whatever you're doing, Tom. Best of luck for the rest of the season as well. Hopefully, you guys can claw your way out of that relegation scrap. And we can hopefully be playing each other, hopefully not in League Two next year, but hopefully in League One. So we'll see. But everyone, thank you so much, obviously, for listening to the EPR podcast. This is, of course, our last podcast of 2023. Hopefully 24 we'll be able to bring you some more upbeat podcasts, but we will have to wait and see on that one. Sadly, we don't dictate how we can review losses. It's not normally you can paper over those losses, but yeah. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. If you have enjoyed the podcast this year, of course, remember to give us a 5-star rating on your podcast of choice. Remember to like all of our socials to keep up to date as well with the latest EPR goings-ons. And with that, I'm going to sign off for the year. I've probably bored you guys to death this year with the previews, but I hope everyone has enjoyed them. I've been Matt Lansley. This is the Elm Park Royals Preview Podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one.